I take your Bibles and you turn with me again, if you will, to the book of Jonah. I hope you're enjoying this series of messages on Jonah. And if you want copies of these messages on tape, you just let us know and we'll see to it that you can have them. Jonah chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading again at verse 1 down through verse 10. Notice carefully the word of God, if you will. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee from town to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And he said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Our subject today, God's method of salvation. Today, salvation is so mixed up and so misconstrued and so preached wrongly that the average individual today doesn't know how God saves a sinner. Let me say this again at the outset of this message to every one of you that are listening in. God has but one way to save a sinner, and that way that he has is set forth very clearly in his book from Genesis to Revelation. And beloved, rest assured of one thing. Salvation is the sinner coming to know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. The sinner has an experience with God, and God meets the sinner, or I should say, God meets the sinner in mercy, and we find that the sinner meets God, I should say, in mercy, and God meets the sinner in repentance. And there's no other way. And God has set forth on almost every page of his blessed book how he saves a sinner. Therefore, your salvation experience must correspond with that which is found in the Word of God, or else your salvation experience is wrong. God's Word is never wrong. And our Lord doesn't have a dozen different ways to save a sinner. He has one way. It's salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation involves repentance and faith in Christ. It also involves Holy Spirit conviction. And the average individual today doesn't know a thing about Holy Spirit conviction. And if you miss Holy Spirit conviction, you miss repentance. When you miss repentance, you miss Christ. And when you miss Christ, you miss everything. Now, last time we left off, as we just merely scratched the surface, so to speak, on the various composite parts of the sinner's fare. What kind of fare are you paying today to go to hell, my friend? Is it the fare of sensual pleasure? Is it a fare of religious profession? Is it the fare of complacency and indifference? Is it perhaps the fare of worldly fame and advancement? Or is it the fare of peer pressure and popularity? Oh, listen, all these fares a sinner will pay if they keep a following after them. But the only result will be there'll be another face in hell. Now, in our lesson today, we're going to look at two simple things. First of all, we're going to look at the compelling grace of God in salvation. You see, when God sets out to save a sinner, our Lord doesn't come to that sinner and ask that sinner or beg that sinner, as it's taught today, would you like to accept me or would you like to be saved? No, sir. You see, God has put every sinner on the same plane. Disobedient to the command of God, deceived to the point of complacency, defiant before God, deluded while in mortal danger, and devoid of being able to bring about any kind of deliverance with regard to his salvation. This is the condition of a sinner without Christ at this hour. And this is your condition, and I hope that the Holy Spirit will open your heart and show you your need of the Lord Jesus before this broadcast goes off the air. Now, when God certainly sets out and saves a sinner, our Lord does several things. First of all, there is the compelling grace of God in salvation. Now you say, preacher, what do you mean? All right. We see it falls into several categories. First of all, we will look at searching grace. Notice, if you will, in Jonah chapter 1 and verses 4 through 6. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Here you have the compelling grace of God in salvation. Now what is it? It's searching grace. You see, God goes after the sinner. And long before the sinner ever has any desire to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, if the Lord God of heaven has already gone after that sinner and searches him out. Jonah here was on a ship going to Tarshish. We find Adam was found in the Garden of Eden. And we find other people are found in all walks of life. Zacchaeus was found up in a sycamore tree. Matthew was found at the receipt of custom. Peter was found by the sea, laboring with his fishing nets. This sinner was found being a preacher who didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. But I praise the Lord again for his searching grace. It is God that goes after the sinner. It's a fulfillment of Romans chapter 3, and we find in verses 10 through 12 that the Word of God speaks of how the Lord goes after a sinner. Listen to what it says. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And here is the marvel of God's grace. Our Lord goes after the sinner and finds the sinner where that individual is. Jonah was found down there in the bowels of the ship. And my friend, when God comes after you and finds you, He will find you in your sin, but you won't stay there. You see, God's grace is a compelling grace, and we see it is also a searching grace. Then, the second thing about God's grace is this. There's sanctifying grace. In Jonah chapter 1 and verses 4 through 10, we find that Jonah was singled out. He was singled out by the shipmaster and awakened out of his sleep. Then they cast lots to see whose fault it would be for the evil that was come upon them. And the lot pointed directly to Jonah. And so we find, then in verse 10 and 11, Jonah told them exactly what he had done, how he was trying to flee away from the Lord God of heaven, who made heaven and earth and the sea and the dry land. Here you see sanctifying grace. It sets apart Jonah from all the rest. And when God sets out to save a sinner, we find He sets apart that individual from all the rest. Then we find they were speaking of the reason for the turmoil they were in. And Jonah told them. He told them how he was fleeing away from God. And sinner, some of you at this hour are trying to flee away from God. Oh, I ask you, stop dead there in your tracks. Turn around, because you cannot get away from the Lord. And if the Lord is searching after you right now, He's going to find you, and you can't get away from Him. In sanctifying grace, They spoke of the reason for the turmoil they were in. And when God begins to bring a sinner under conviction, that individual talks with others about the turmoil that he is in. You see, he doesn't know what to do, and God has to show them. And Jonah here also was in the same category. He was speaking of the reason for the turmoil they were in. And then the only solution that was found in obedience unto the Lord God of heaven. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 11, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. And sinner, the only solution you'll ever have and you'll ever find, and the only way you'll ever get saved, is when you obey the Lord God of heaven. And my friend, our Lord tells you today to repent and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I hope and pray that even now the Lord is searching your heart. Then God's compelling grace not only is searching grace, it's not only sanctifying grace, but then we find also there's saving grace. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 12 we read, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Then notice, if you will, nevertheless the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Oh, here is saving grace. Now, what is that? We find saving grace does this. It spares the sinner from death. Jonah had the sentence of death resting upon him, and he knew it. And when God sets out and deals with a sinner, brings that individual down the road of conviction, that individual knows beyond the shadow of a doubt that the sentence of death is upon him. It's a fulfillment of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10, where the Word of God says to us these words. Listen to it if you will. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Has the Lord God of heaven ever written the death sentence upon you, my radio friend? If you don't know what I'm talking about, then you have never had the death sentence written upon you. But rest assured of one thing, before you get saved, if you ever do, you will know what it means to be sentenced to an eternal death by the Lord God of heaven, and you will know that you know it, that you're on your road to a devil's hell. No, nobody's going to tell you. God will tell you. His word will be written upon your soul, and you will know what it means to be sentenced unto death, the same as Jonah did. Then we find also, while Jonah was sentenced unto death, yet we see very clearly that saving grace was bestowed upon him. God spared him from death. While the men had to take him up and cast him forth into the sea, we read these words. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And for my friend, just before God saves that sinner knows he's dying. That sinner knows he's sentenced to hell. That sinner knows he's unable to rescue himself, and the only thing that individual can do is to plead for God to have mercy upon him. And yet, the amazing reality of it is this, that our Lord spares that individual from death. Then, secondly, we see also the individual learned, as Jonah learned, that salvation is entirely of the Lord God of heaven. In Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9, we read these words, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that than I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. This is what Jonah learned. This is what you learn when God deals with you in conviction. You will learn that God doesn't have to save you, that you can't make Him save you, and you will wonder if He ever will save you. You will learn beyond the shadow of a doubt that salvation is all of God, and it is also all of grace. This is what Jonah meant when he said, salvation is of the Lord. You see, our salvation today is entirely of God. Now, it's been so twisted and mixed up at this hour that the average individual doesn't know how God saves a sinner. But in John chapter 1, and we find in verses 12 and 13, you see, our Lord sets it forth very clearly where He says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Have you ever been born of God, my radio friend? Oh, if you don't know what I'm talking about, my hope is that the Lord will pierce your soul, even at this hour, and bring you down the road of conviction. Then, last of all, in saving grace, the individual learns that God has spared him from death. He learns also that salvation is entirely of Jehovah. And then the Lord shows that individual that every person whom He saves, He has a special mission for him to carry out. Now, some of you might say, now, Pastor, wait a minute. I'm not a Jonah. No, I know you're not a Jonah. There's only one Jonah in the world, and that was the Jonah of the Bible. God never saved another individual like He dealt with Jonah, or I should say never dealt with another individual like He dealt with Jonah. But when God saves an individual, listen, He saves us for this purpose, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Am I speaking to a believer here today? You say you don't know what God wants you to do? Well, I will tell you, God wants you to perform good works. He's ordained that you walk in them. You need to take your Bible and you need to go to your next door neighbor. You need to knock on doors and talk to them about Christ. And if you can't talk to your neighbors about God, then you need to talk to God about your neighbors until the opportunity arises that you can. Oh, but listen, my hope is that the Lord has saved you. It's the greatest thing that can ever happen to you when it does. Do you know Christ at this hour? If not, we urge you, begin even now to ask the Lord to have mercy upon you. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.